Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon is our second lesson as we continue our readings from the first epistle of John. We read the first 11 verses of chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit who confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit who does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is already in the world. You are from God, dear children, and you have overcome false prophets, because the one in you is greater than the one in the world. They are from the world. That is why they speak from a worldly perspective, and the world listens to them. We are from God. The one who knows God listens to us, and whoever is not from God does not listen to us. That is how we can distinguish between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love has not known God, because God is love. This is how God's love for us was revealed. God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we may live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loves us so much, we also should love one another. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. I have to share this with you. Pastors are always concerned that your sermons are timely and relevant. After I had chosen the theme for my sermon, I was looking at the Indianapolis Star. Some of you maybe are familiar with the column called Let It Out. Granted, it's a screed, and people say some of the weirdest things in there. However, some insightful soul last Friday wrote in Let It Out that being kind and being right are not mutually exclusive. That is almost word for word for the theme of my sermon. So I was very excited to discover that what I was thinking and what I was going to share with you today is in the thoughts of people today. It's an important message because sometimes some people think that the truth and love or kindness and being right are mutually exclusive. For our application, we would apply that to being a child of God or to having God's word or knowing what is the word and what isn't. There are, sadly, Christians who have the word of God, and yet they hold on to that with jealousy, and there is no love or kindness whatsoever that they show to other Christians or to other people. But then there are some people who think that love is the only thing that matters. That if you have love for somebody, then what you believe about Christ really doesn't matter at all. Or that the two things really have no connection. The Apostle John, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brings those two things together and teaches us today that truth and love are not mutually exclusive. Truth, as John talks about it here, refers to the person and redeeming work of Jesus Christ in its entirety. And the second part is that love centers on God's love in Christ. The sad reality, of which you are all aware, is that there are many false teachings and many false prophets within the visible Christian church today. And outside of Orthodox Christianity, in the cults, there are many false prophets, false teachers, who teach all kinds of errors and wrong things about Jesus' person and his work and where love really comes from. I'll repeat John's words to you. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God. And we do that by carefully and critically weighing the clear truths of the Bible with the teachings and teachers of those within Christianity and outside of Christianity who claim to speak for God. Test the spirits, because believing everything is just as deadly as believing nothing to your faith. Think of a balance. On the one side of the balance, we have the clear, inspired, living Word of God. The message of Jesus Christ in his person and in his work. The spirit of truth is that Jesus is the eternal Son of God come into the flesh. And the work of his redemption is complete and applies to every sinner. So that's on one side of the balance as we're testing the spirits to see the preachers, to see if they are speaking for God or for themselves. And John says, any spirit, any preacher that denies the deity of Christ is not from God. Or even any preacher within Christianity who believes that Jesus is his Savior, when he is teaching or preaching something false about Christ's work of redemption, that it is incomplete, that it doesn't apply to everybody, that you have to add your own works and your own righteousness to it, that he is then not from God. He is not speaking what is from God. There's a red herring out there that the Bible is not clear, that the Bible is not very specific when it talks about Jesus and about the work that he has done. And how every word of Scripture touches that. And so you get man's ideas that only parts of the Bible are God's Word, only parts of the Bible speak about Christ. And where you get away from the things about Jesus, that it doesn't really matter what the truth is. Or there really isn't any truth. You have your truth about baptism. I have my truth about baptism. You have your truth about conversion or the end of the world. I have my truth about those things. There is the one truth of all the things that touch on the Christ and his redemption. And those things are very clear in the Scripture. When we let the Scripture speak and say with young Samuel, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," then the Spirit of truth will lead us and has led us into knowing what that truth of the Bible is. And so then we're able to be discerning and distinguish things, not because they're just a different interpretation, or, well, it's not really that clear, so this is the way you understand it, this is the way I understand it. It's really more a matter of the Bible is very clear, and I'm going to listen to it and believe what it says, Or I'm not going to listen to it, and I'm going to project my own ideas onto it. And that enables us then, by the power of the Spirit, we can't do this by ourselves. We're not brighter or more insightful than other people, that we know the truth and confess the truth. But by God's grace, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has led us to see the truth in Scripture. And so we're able to discern what the truth is. And so when some preacher on TV says, let me send you a little pouch of this special water, and when you get that, the Lord is going to make you prosperous. And you're going to have all kinds of success and all kinds of money. Or I'm going to bless this little piece of cloth and I'm going to send it to you. And then when you get that, all you have to do is pray on that cloth, and then God will listen to your prayers. Or if you're a good Christian, you will be prosperous. Or God wants you to be His. God wants to be your Savior. God wants to forgive you. If you believe in Him, if you turn your life over to Him, then He will forgive you. Then He will be your Savior. Or Jesus Christ did a lot on the cross, but you still have to do some things yourself. You have to do some good works. You have to make some efforts. You have to try harder in your life to somehow complete the work of Christ. Test the spirits. Test to see if those teachers and teachings are from God. Weigh them against the clear teachings of God's Word. John said, and we're living in the reality of his prophecy, that false prophets are coming into the world. They are the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and is already in the world. Any teaching that goes against the Scripture is the spirit of the Antichrist. It is anti-Christian. It denies some aspect of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And where does those false prophecies come from? Where do those lies begin? From the father of lies, from Satan. The way we overcome those lies, as I said, is not because of any special quality of our own, but because the Holy Spirit is in our hearts. And the Spirit of truth is greater than that liar Satan who is in the world. We are God's children. And since we are from God, John says, whoever knows God listens to us. And whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And the us there are the apostles, are all whose teachings agree with the apostles and whose teachings agree with the teachings of Christ's person and work. Continue to examine and judge what you hear as claims that they are the Word of God, or that they're just a different interpretation, or they're just a different understanding, or they don't really make any difference when it comes to your faith. The truth of God's Word will strengthen your faith. The lies of men, not from God, will undermine your faith and will destroy that faith. But notice how John now suddenly doesn't say, well, okay, have the truth, hold on to the truth, keep the truth, and that's all that really matters, to the exclusion of love. But immediately he goes on now and connects the truth with love. Truth and love are not mutually exclusive. I don't have the truth and then don't love my neighbor. At the same time, I don't love my neighbor regardless of what that person believes or claims to be God's word. John addresses his readers or as John addresses his readers, he does it in a play on words that sadly is lost in English. It's translated in most English translations where Paul or where John wrote, "Friends, let us love." In Greek, it's "beloved, let us love." In other words, loved, you who have been loved, let us love. Because that love that we have for each other is the love, the very same love that God had for us in Christ. It is that agape love. That love that is unconditional on anything in the one who is to receive love. It is a love that cannot be known, cannot be experienced, and cannot be shown apart from faith in Jesus Christ. God's love for us in Christ does not exclude us from standing and confessing the truth. It connects us to those actions in our lives. This is our unity in the church. You know, when we confess in a little while the Nicene Creed, or when we confess the other statements of faith, those statements of faith, in a sense, aren't what bind us together in unity. They are an expression of our unity. But what binds you and me together in unity is the truth of what God says about Jesus and his work of redemption, and the love of God that he has had for us in Christ Jesus. John contrasts those born of God and who know God with those who do not know him. Those who claim to be the children of God and do not love their neighbor show themselves to be liars and deceivers. But those who know that love of God in Christ, we love one another and we love our neighbor. We heard about that a couple of weeks ago in chapter 5 of this epistle, where John wrote that those who are born of God, who love the Father, who gave them that birth, also love the other children of God, love their brothers and sisters in Christ. St. John describes and defines true love. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning, the full-paying sacrifice for all of our sins. Now that's love. To redeem us, to save us, to reconcile us to God by the sacrifice of his Son. Dear friends, or dear beloved, if God loved us so much, we also should love one another. So when we think of the truth of God's word, and there is only one truth, and we think of that love that is God's love for us in Christ, those things are not mutually exclusive. They belong together, and they unite us together. But how does that work? Well, it works when I'm thinking about whether I should love you or not. I'm thinking whether I should forgive you or not when you have sinned against me. The Spirit of truth leads me to only one answer. Of course. Yes, I will forgive you. Because of the truth of Jesus, the Son of God, who redeemed me completely from my sins, and everything in my life that I believe in is the truth of God's word and strengthens my faith so that I can love you as you, or as Christ, has loved me. There's only one choice. There's only one answer. And that is based on the truth and on the basis of love. Or the question, will I use God's holy word to judge the truth and truth tellers and follow the spirit of truth? Or will I believe the lies of Satan? Will I fall in the spirit of error? There's only one answer, and that is I'm going to stick to the truth. I'm going to follow the spirit of truth. Why? Because God has loved me in Christ. And I love my neighbor, and when I see my neighbor believing something that isn't God's word, that is being led into hell because of some false teaching, who is being told that there's something you must do to complete Christ's work of redemption, then against those lies, my love leads me to go to them and in love say to them, that's not right. That's not really the truth. Let's you and I test the spirits. Let's test those teachings as we do in adult information class. We present what the Bible says. We present the teachings of different churches and our church. And then we ask, weigh the teachings of that church against what the Bible says. And more often than not, they'll see that we are a church that teaches the truth of what God says. Truth and love are not mutually exclusive. When I have the truth about Jesus in his person and work for my righteousness, I will, as Luther wrote, practice good works and love for God's sake freely and without seeking anything else. Amen.